This is KMKR 99.9 FM, Tucson, Arizona. Is this on?
Is anybody listening? Is anybody there? Is there something stuck between my teeth? Did I think to comb my hair? How come there's crickets in this place? Outside's where they belong. I can't believe the silence like the dark before the dawn. What I'd give for any sign of life, I'd settle for a yawn. It really makes me wonder. Is this on? Hello, Phil.
Hey, it's certainly on, Dave. On and in full high gear.
I think we need to demask.
Demask for this.
For audio quality.
Yes, we're in a lovely Saturday morning when we tend to get together.
Beautiful, beautiful weather.
For these. So we've got lots to talk about on a beautiful Tucson morning. A little bit uncharacteristically cloudy today, Dave.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yep.
Very nice. And beautiful, many things going on, of course.
So much going on.
The final debate, the World Series is going on.
That's right.
Exciting, even the Masters golf tournament around the corner to be played in
Halloween
November.
Is almost here.
Halloween is almost here. And again, Dave, you know, you mentioned that. And let's give a Halloween shout out because our dear friend and ITO host, Roxy Moreri, is doing her show again.
Oh, yeah.
Special Halloween show.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we send you over to Roxy Comedy at the Surly Wench. Check out her page for the details. I believe, Dave, and of course, I love the show. It's one of my favorite local shows where Roxy has comics, including herself, portray deceased comedians.
That's right, yes.
And they do a bit of their act. It's really a great show. It's always very well attended. And that's what I note here. I believe they are having spaced actual live seating. So,
really? Okay. Now, this is on Monday coming up. They're doing it at the Wench.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's the great annual Halloween. I'm hoping maybe they're going to offer a virtual version. I'm not sure.
I think they are. Yeah. I think that would be nice.
And then there'd be a great record of it. So, shout out anyway.
Roxy
does such a great job, Dave. You know, when we're not doing our weeks, which are the second and the fourth week of ITO, we've got, of course, Roxy Moreri, who does week three, and always great, really deep, insightful interviews. Tends to be the way Roxy goes.
Yeah, I guess if you like that kind of thing. Yeah, not something we care for,
We get more into sandbox, Dave, and,
the litter box.
The litter box is more appropriate. Kurt and Jan, of course, get the month off rolling in week one with their beautiful work on satirical music. Mm. It's just really interesting. Songs I never thought had an element of humor to them. They expose in a very fun and delightful way, in a toe-tappingly good way, Dave.
You know,
we love our ITO team.
I got a little bone to pick with the Died Laughing show.
Yes, Dave.
I'll tell you why.
Wow, controversy right at the start.
Because as you know, the Tucson comedy community is... you know, there's been a strong push for more female representation, more women doing comedy. There have been shows that are women-only shows.
Sure.
There's been a lot of, it's been kind of an issue here because, you know, I mean, I remember when I used to host at Café Passé, sometimes there'd be 25 comics and two women.
Uh-huh.
It's better now, but it's always been like, let's give more women a... And then they do Died Laughing every year. And when they do Died Laughing, it's like the women are doing men.
Yeah.
There are so many female comics that are pioneers that they should be celebrating, I think, and pointing out to people like that. People like, you remember Toadie Fields, Tucker.
I wasn't sure which bone there you were picking. So you're saying in their portrayal, their choice of comics that they do in portrayal. Now, of course...
I mean, Roxy is doing Mitch...
Hedberg.
Hedberg. And Amber Frame is also hosting. She's doing Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody
mm-hmm.
else is doing Chris Farley. Stephanie Leonga is doing, I think she's doing Bernie Mac. And there were so many great women in the past that they could have
had. So, of course, in the past, Monty Benjamin has done Bernie Mac.
Monty's done Bernie Mac before.
Wonderful.
And Stina's doing Gilda Radner as Roseanne Dennett.
Okay,
yeah,
so there's an example of...
But I don't know why they don't do more women comics from the past, because that would be kind of like they're right in their...
Yep.
Right. Right.
And the power zone there.
It's an interesting point, Dave. What I was thinking about when you said it was certainly you have that option anywhere to do, you know, cross-gender representation. But Saturday Night Live has actively kind of moved in that direction with their political portrayals, right? Sean Spicer was portrayed by the wonderful actress, comedian...
Melissa McCarthy. Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy, right. with the moving podium. certainly... The former Attorney General, the Southern senator, who was
Jeff Sessions,
portrayed by a female. So maybe that's a trend, and maybe they
I'm just saying, in a community where it seems to be one of their top priorities is representation of women, they have an opportunity. When I say they, I mean female comics, and yet they choose to portray men. Which,
Well taken. Takes nothing away, of course, from the fact that they're doing excellent portrayals.
Oh, it's a great show. I'm not knocking the show. I'm just saying it was an opportunity to fulfill.
I'm just, Dave, I'm trying to prevent a lynching here.
I would welcome an open discussion on why they do that.
Were they able to force the anti-lynching bill through this Senate? Because you may have been spared.
There's a big pro-lynching movement now.
They may have not had you in mind when they were passing that legislation, but you may have been spared from a lynching. Well, hey, things are charged. There's no subject you can talk about these days that isn't controversial. And wow, we're just days away, Dave, from the 2020 election. We've been riding it hard.
Have you voted?
I have voted. I voted early. I chose. What was your voting plan, Dave?
I voted and I dropped it off. I voted at home. I dropped it off.
So I had requested a ballot, a mail-in ballot, and then I did the same. I filled it out and dropped it off at one of the election offices off Valencia. You know, I must say it was quite easy. They had covered parking. They had no line when I went. I know it was just early in the morning one day.
I felt quite honored because I pulled in the parking lot and the Attorney General Bill Barr came out to get my vote. So, I mean, if you can't trust the government to get the vote in, who can you trust?
I had a similar experience, except that Bill Barr opened it, changed my vote, and then sealed it and put it in the...
And then ate it.
Right. I think he may have changed it to Bill Barr as a write-in, Dave. Mm-hmm. Will he make it out? You know, it's not every Attorney General completed. He seems to be, at long last, defiant to going in and opening an investigation on the Biden crime family.
He seemed game for anything Trump suggested, but I guess
the
command to put my opponent in jail in the next 2 weeks was a little tall order for him, that he could pull that off.
Yeah, well, as one who would have thought there was no boundary for Bill Barr.
We finally figured it out.
It's good to see him reeling Bill Barr back in here, Dave. And neither would, but apparently the Director of National Intelligence bit on that and had that press conference with the information about the Iranian
and
the Russian interference, but no penalty.
Yeah, Bill Barr's very busy now anyway because he's traveling around the country attending Oktoberfests wherever he can and loading up on sausage.
And Dave, here's a way of sliding into our next subject.
One moment, Phil.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're sitting here at this outdoor eating area, and I just noticed there's like a Hallmark card here, and I opened it up. I don't know if I should have done that, but I don't know who it's for.
Was it sealed? Was it addressed?
It was sealed, but I was curious, and so I opened it up. And
what does it say?
It's pretty touching. It's weird. It says, I'm pregnant, and it's signed the carpet in front of Jeffrey Toobin's computer. So what do you think about that, Phil?
I think that's a piece of evidence.
It brings a new meaning to the phrase, want a shag, baby?
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Go ahead and...
Anyway, it does take us to the next subject.
Back to reality.
As I was going to mention, also from the very, very inner circle of Trump confidants, of course, is Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
And Rudy got a little bit surprised,
I'd say.
Got
some screen time,
As we learned, Dave, with the release of the... newest Borat film. I think it's actually Borat 2 or the subsequent Borat.
Subsequent movie film.
Subsequent
is what
movie
it is.
Film.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For those, of course, living under a rock, Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen is the actor. He plays the, you know, Kazakhstanian erstwhile documentary filmmaker.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And he's back with part two, available, Dave, I think you were telling me, on Amazon.
Amazon Prime, yeah.
So and if you have Amazon Prime,
I watched it last night. And yep. I won't give it away, although you don't watch a Borat movie for the plot so much. But it's well, as you point out, it's like, how can he, you know, the first movie was so great because he could, nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
Nobody recognized him. But now, they make that part of the movie that he is so recognizable now that he has to be in these bizarre disguises all the time.
And you know what? It's interesting because that's in Sacha Baron Cohen's past, and even... It was a revival of it. He did the documentary series, quasi-fake documentary series, where he was in disguise, right, as Ali G.
Ali G, sure.
And then, but he was other characters as well as Ali G.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a hugely talented guy, actually, and a very skilled actor as well for the series.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that comes across in this film. I mean, I maybe we forget because you think about Borat and you think about, you know, that's nice and make happy time, make sex time, things like that.
But it was a very anti-Semitic references, of course.
But it's a very satirical movie, which is what it really is. And in this one, it's the more of the same. But it's actually the movie revolves around his relationship with his daughter, and it's actually quite sweet. And it's interesting because she is from Kazakhstan, of course, and is used to being kept in a cage, as women are there, and comes to America and starts to learn that, America gives opportunities to women, and that everything she'd learned about being a woman was a lie. And it's actually very empowering, I guess you could say. And
I'm looking forward to it. Dave, I'm going to challenge myself and our ITO audience to all try to watch the new Borat film, Borat 2, and let's all give it a review. We invite folks to come to the ITO Facebook page, drop a review in.
Sure,
We'd love to hear your thoughts. As many of you do, we appreciate our listeners, Dave, who take a listen to us also on various podcast formats, Anchor, Apple now are available.
We're everywhere.
So please, go like our Facebook page and give us a review on Apple.
Borat 2, subsequent movie film. The trailers are good. A lot of stuff in the trailer's not in the movie, because he obviously shot a lot of footage. But the trailer, I don't think any trailers I've seen really show too much of the relationship with his daughter, which is a big part of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Though we see the daughter, and she's been getting excellent reviews,
totally grasped and embraced the Borat mindset in it. She's terrific. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And Dave, what is in one of the trailers, so we can share without considering it a spoiler, since you probably have seen it, was, I'd have to say, to tie it back to our ITO format. We've been blessed, Dave, to have visits from political strategist James Carville over the last few weeks, and he's been so insightful and somewhat humorous at times, Dave. Remember, he was trying to help, as you know, he works on the Biden-Harris campaign as their director of nicknames for Donald Trump and dirty tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, you know, he dropped the Wuhan bat in Trump's hair.
That was a great prank, yeah.
Yep. And wound up infecting the president with the coronavirus. And then he challenged our audience, and thanks again for your input, to help pick nicknames for Donald Trump. And, of course, I think he determined the best at the time was the John Stewart offering Luckface von Clownstick. And you know what we mean by Luckface. But I have to say, Borat causes us to reopen for another entry, because he uses the nickname that just cracked me up, and it's McDonald Trump. But I thought that was very clever. Gives you a little window.
It almost slipped by me, and then I thought back and heard it, and it was a good one.
So that is just a wonderful entry into the fact, Dave, that we've been trying since the beginning of this political season. We have offered interview time to the Biden campaign. Uh-huh. We have offered interview time to the Trump campaign.
Yep.
Realistically, Dave, I did not expect to hear back. But I thought, could either of these candidates get so desperate that the ITO audience, mighty as it is, Dave, would be of interest in a swing state.
No, I don't think of it as being desperate. They just want to cover all possible outlets that they can.
No, I didn't mean our audience was desperate.
No, no.
I meant the candidate was desperate.
So what are you leading up to
here? Is there a more desperate candidate, Dave, than our president? President Trump, the polls don't look great. Let's face it, the polls are not looking great.
They're tightening up, though, unfortunately.
Money seems to not be flowing in like it once was. But we make an offer and we hold to it, Dave, and we were contacted by the White House to do an interview. And, you know, we weren't expecting the president to, you know, stop by at Zero Craft, you know, although he'd be more than welcome to watch your step on that rickety staircase.
Yeah, there's no way he's going to do those stairs.
Not then, you know, especially not up, maybe downhill. And we got a call, Dave. I took the initiative. I did the machinations behind the scenes.
Kudos to you, Phil. You made it happen.
And boom, we pulled you. I think you were at an open house. We pulled you out of that.
Yep.
Got together by telephone. We were able to speak with the president of the United States.
Goosebumps.
Let's share that with our audience now, Dave.
Yep. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, earlier this week, ITO was contacted by White House Communications Director Kayleigh McEnany to see if we would be interested in a telephone interview with the president. She explained that Mr. Trump wants to speak to all Americans about this election and felt that perhaps he might reach out to more liberal audiences through programs like Is This On? Well, we're delighted, Dave. I'm so glad you could be here for this call as well. This was clearly an offer we couldn't refuse, right?
Oh, you better believe it, Phil. We've had some big names on Is This On, Sean Connery, Al Pacino, but this is a big get for us getting the president.
Right, and this one finally, Dave, has merged the world of politics and show business. While pardon me for being distracted. I've got an earpiece in, Dave, to the Kayleigh McEnany's office at the White House. And when they're ready to go, we're going to have to just go. But while you and I are talking, what are you hoping to ask Donald Trump?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, there's one question that's been on my mind for a long time, and that is, does President Trump wear a diaper?
This would be the update of the boxers or brief question to Bill Clinton years ago.
Now, people have been pointing out to me, they say, well, it looks like Trump when he's sitting down. It looks like he's sitting on the toilet. And I thought, maybe he is. Maybe he brings his toilet
right. And
like
the age range and, you know, certainly the age of both candidates an issue in this election. So, Dave, I am sorry to interrupt you. We're getting a signal that the president is on the line.
Awesome.
Is this the radio from Arizona? Sir, this is such an honor. How are you feeling, sir?
I feel so powerful. I'd like to kiss everyone in your audience.
Radio. This is radio? Radio, huh? What, do you guys have no ambition?
I'm having a little fun with you. I did all the Howard Stern in the day. You know that.
Well, your sense of humor is.
Thank you. Too bad you guys aren't Hunter Biden and your daddy, Sleepy Joe Biden, can have the mayor of Moscow's wife send you $3.5 million and maybe some ratings. How about that? Some ratings.
I'm wishing Kristen Welker was here right now.
Don't you mention that name. Everyone, except the fake news, agrees that I won the debate last week in Nashville. Failing NBC, they haven't had a hit show since The Love of the Apprentice. They tried their chip questions. You remember this one? Who, Dave, you remember this one? How about when that monster asked me, President Trump, sir, if you were eating at a whites-only lunch counter with George Wallace and David Duke, who would be the least racist person in the room? Nailed it. Right? Am I right? I nailed that.
Yeah, of that particular room, that may be true. Yep.
Yeah. Phil, Dave, you're with me here. I'm used to doing this on video, so what I'm thinking is, what if I hit the face button time, then you can see in the office and you walk and we'll talk, okay? Walk with me and talk with me to the Oval Office.
As long as Jeffrey Coogan isn't on, that's a good idea.
Mesa Luja. I wouldn't even let that guy do a tax extension for me. All right, listen, walk with me to the Oval Office. You with me, Phil? Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave,
yeah? I'm here.
You see now, right? You see the White House lawn here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Okay, nice day. It's a beautiful day here. By the way, I'm about to sign an executive order making Sean Hannity the Secretary of Haircuts. Okay, now we're at the door. We're at the door. Hold on just a second, okay? Sergeant, a word, please.
Yes, Mr. President. Welcome, sir.
Good to see you. Sergeant, remember our conversation from last week? When go time comes, I want to make sure you pack up those lawn jockeys at the White House entrance very securely for the move. They were a gift from Kanye, you know.
Excuse me, but what move are you talking about, sir?
What are you, a realtor? You didn't ask Obama if he's moving.
Well, actually, sir, I am a realtor. I'm with Long Realty here in Tucson.
Really? You know, Long Realty. You know, I have a friend, a very good friend, very powerful friend, who could, let's say, be transferred from Washington very soon. Do you you think you might be able to get him a cash offer on a house? It'd have to be quick.
Oh, yeah, I think so. What kind of house is your friend trying to sell, sir?
Large house, beautiful house, big house, very powerful house.
Hmm.
In the meantime, 132 rooms, 35 bathrooms.
Wow.
Big fenced-in yard, close to the Mile Lincoln Monument. Put that in there, too. Got to move it. Very important now. Got to move it early November. Early November.
Okay, I'll look into that. In the meantime, you might want to, I mean, your friend might look to updating the furniture a bit. Speaking of early November, just a quick political question. Why should Americans reelect you, sir?
Well, that's an easy one, Dave. Democrats stand for crime, corruption, and chaos. Republicans stand for law, order, and justice. Let me talk for a minute, if I can, to the suburban Tucson women. Like me. They should like me, Dave. More than anybody. They should, because I ended the regulation that brought crime to the suburbs. I'm talking here, Dave, if I may, to the women who, when they see, say, a Cory Booker shopping at Lawn Cantata, they've already got the 9 and the 1 dialed on their Chinese iPhones. Hillary Clinton! I'm sorry, I thought I saw Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Sir, in Arizona, if I may move to another topic area, go ahead. There are several Air Force bases here. Many retired vets live in Arizona. It's been reported, sir, that you made derogatory remarks toward servicemen.
Mm.
Oh, excuse me, yes, man. Sir, it's Dr. Fauci. Acuity test time. 3, 2, 1, go. Excuse me, I just cleared my throat. Person, woman, man. Don't help me, Dave. Camera. And
one more.
TV, sir. 4 out of 5. That's not bad. Close enough for epidemiology, as we say, sir. All right. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Dave, Phil, between you and me, Fauci, overrated! He'll be lucky to get a job at CVS when we're done with him. Gentlemen, welcome to the Oval Office.
Wow.
Mm. Now, you see it? I'm moving the FaceTime around.
So I know.
I'm moving.
Like,
you notice,
like I'm right there.
You notice, do you notice this, Dave? It's not a circle. It's an oval.
Right. Yep. Thanks for pointing that out.
Sir, that
That looks interesting. Is that a treasure chest right on the Resolute desk? What are you keeping there, sir?
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Very special things. Everyone's favorite president, me, is more sentimental than you might think. Can you believe right in this room is where Obama and Biden spied on me? That's treason, right, Dave? Let me show. Lock him up. Biden, Dave, is Burisma's Mr. Big Man. Did you know that? Where's the laptop, Joe? Where's the laptop? All right. Let me move the phone over here so you can see inside.
Let's take a look and see what you're trying to do.
Take a look. I'm sorry. I got carried away. Burisma!
Okay. Hey, let's take a look what you have in your memory box there. What's this, Mr. President? It looks like a ticket from a pawn shop?
No. That's from Bellevue Hospital. There, you remind me, I got to return Rudy Giuliani next month.
Okay. There's an envelope here marked Melania. If I can just take a quick look inside. It's a receipt inside from Acme Mail Order Brides and a copy of Slovenian Swank magazine.
Oh, you
do have your memories.
Oh,
and there's a romantic card.
Hey,
can you
hands off the swank?
there's a romantic card in the box. Would you mind sharing with us what the first lady wrote to you, sir? I mean, it's personal.
All,
I know.
Not at all, and it's very, very. I told you, I'm more sentimental than you might. It says, "Dear Donnie," that's what the first lady called me back then.
Dear,
if you buy me new breasts, I marry you. Hey, that worked out pretty good for the both of us, right? Dave, Phil, everyone says that the first lady has the finest hooters, the biggest hooters, the best hooters in the history of this country. Dolly Madison, Eleanor Roosevelt. Not my type. I don't think so. Benghazi! Here, are you okay, sir? I'm fine. I'm focusing. Here's a nice photo of you. Some kind of military ceremony? Oh, yes. Here I'm dedicating the tomb of the unknown sucker. I'm pulling you guys. A photo. Look, this one. Yeah, in the military. Here's a photo of me years ago, Dave, so in military school. That's my dad. Dropped me off and said goodbye.
I don't see your dad here in the photo.
Look, I moved the phone closer to the photo. See the cloud of smoke way in the background?
Yeah, that car racing away.
That's my pops. That's bad. That's the way the Germans do it, Dave.
He doesn't like long goodbyes. Got it.
They're not. I'm the most sentimental Trump ever. What is this, sir? It looks like an IOU to this looks like a Chinese name for $400 million.
Whoa, what's that?
I remember now. I did not have cash for the Chinese delivery guy. Where'd you get that? From Bob Woodward? Loser! Woodward hasn't had a byline since 1968. Say like New York Times. They were very unfair to Nixon, you know. Fake news.
but this IOU is for $400 million, sir.
Well, that was a good place. Now, their shrimp Jack Sue is fantastic, what can I tell you? But this I can tell you, that Marvin of Naples could eat a lot of shrimp. Gluttonous, angry woman.
Okay.
All right.
Your previous wife got it.
look, Bob and Ray, you still with me?
We're here.
All right. So listen, you got some golden time here with the president, so you would take my lead. Where were we? Oh, military. Right. You're in Arizona, right? Right?
Yes,
Arizona. Yeah. Are you with me here? Stop. What are you looking at? The swank? Put the swank down, Dave.
I would not
that's
touch
your
swank, sir.
That's the first lady in there. Show some respect.
Hey. It opened right to it.
That's the three. It folds down one more time, too. Let me ask you this. You're in Arizona. You've been in Arizona for a while. Did you ever get to see John McCain cry in person? I heard it was like a daily thing, you know, like the gushing, like at Mount Rushmore. Coward! Look,
John
fellas,
McCain. Okay.
I got to go. I'll give my regards to everyone in Arizona. You're welcome for the beautiful wall that Mexico will pay for. How are they going to pay for it, if you ask? A $5 surcharge on each Tijuana donkey show. His credit. Everybody wins.
It's win-win.
Welcome to or from America. Lock him up.
Oh, here he goes.
Hunter Biden's laptop day. One more word before I go. Keep it on your mind before you go in the vote. Benghazi! Vote Trump. I think. Thank you. Yes, the president is off the line, Dave. Well,
as he hung up,
line.
Okay.
Well, yep. The secure line. Well, that was a thrill.
Well, he's still got plenty of energy. He's right down to election day. He's still battling.
Yeah. Interesting closing message from the president to go after a deceased John McCain, reaching out to the Arizona vote.
Yeah,
and
of course, the biggest issue in America today is Benghazi, of course.
Well, I don't believe it was resolved, Dave, in fairness to the president. So, look, we'll discuss it more, Dave, but what a thrill. We'll look forward to the rest of the show and
catching
up with our ICO audience. What a thrill. Thank you, President Trump.
Yes, that was great. Thanks for lining that up, Phil.
Things in my life that I've consider that an accomplishment. Speak to
and
a,
that may
a sitting
well,
U.S.
well
president.
Be President Trump's last interview before the election. It probably will be.
It will be certainly with 60 Minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't storm out on us. Wasn't that crazy?
Not,
he did not. He hung
I
around.
Thought we got. I think we got along well. As he says, he gets along with everybody, Dave. So there's Putin and there's Kim Jong Un and you and me. How about Kim Jong-un, because we know he plays. Kim Jong-un, Donald Trump, you and me, and there's a nice foursome at Trump National.
Let's do it, hoping Trump has a lot of free time coming up here pretty soon.
I think he will. You have any plans to go to Florida then?
No, never.
A road show, perhaps, for ITO.
No?
All right, but that might be where we'd run into him again. But anyway, our good friend.
I did hear that. Reminds me, I read that Trump stormed out of the Mar-a-Lago restaurant. He claimed that he was being the victim of unfair questioning. The waiter had asked him if he wanted fresh ground pepper. And he goes, you guys are doing it again to me, and stormed out. So.
He was a little sensitive, very sensitive. When you asked him the question about moving, and right away he jumped at you.
Yeah.
You didn't ask,
it's a friend. It's
yeah.
a friend of moving.
Like, hey, in fairness, Dave, you didn't ask Obama if he was moving. Well, had you been a realtor in the Chicago area, Obama was moving. So, I think you would have. You're a realtor. You're going to ask everybody. When we were getting coffee, you were asking them if they wanted to sell.
We were joking with the president about selling his house, but if he wins another term, maybe we'll sell the White House.
Did you get an inkling, Dave? Any inklings from talking to the president? Did you from his mood? Do you think he's confident?
Oh, he's always confident.
He's always confident,
and
he's
a president.
He was so proud. To show us some of the early photographs of Melania.
Oh, yeah, very touching.
That was a thrill.
From family. Hey, speaking of family, I got a little note here about Don Jr.
Yeah, what's going on?
It's an interesting list here our ITO staff drew up, which is five ways to tell Donald Trump Jr. is doing too much cocaine.
In case you were wondering. I want to know how you could tell.
Yeah, well, we've got five reasons here. The number one reason that Don Jr. is doing too much cocaine, during the Republican convention, he recited the Pledge of Allegiance in 4 seconds. One sign right there. What do we got here? Oh, he actually got security clearance for the guy who rubs his gums. So that might be a sign there.
Yeah. That's no longer Kimberly Guilfoyle. Has she been fired?
I think she's still there.
Looks like she's doing a little rubbing.
She doesn't rub just the gums, though. You might. This is interesting. Did you know Donald Trump Jr.? He cannot. He can't use a vending machine. All of his bills are too curly. They won't go in.
You can't use those.
They're all like that.
But, that's why I tried the silver dollar coins.
Passersby heard coming from his motel room one night, shouting, "I am the ultimate. No one can defeat me." And they figured that was him on coke. That actually was Kimberly Guilfoyle yelling that at that time. Oh, no. And then number five, the fifth reason you know Donald Trump Jr. is doing too much cocaine, he's been buying clean urine from Barron. By the way, a lot of people talk about the Trump children making a lot of money right. Since he's entered the White House. Actually, since he moved into the White House, Barron Trump has made about $4 million selling clean urine to the administration.
To the remainder of the administration. Of course, how clean is it, Dave? Didn't he have the COVID?
He had the COVID, yeah.
The young Barron. Yeah. Not too many reports on him. Have you heard? Is he doing okay?
I hear he's doing okay. Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know.
But his father would tell you that young people are not.
Young people don't get it. Yeah. Right?
Nobody gets it. 99.9%, Dave, I believe, do not get it.
There are 320 million people in the United States, and as President Trump will point out, most of them are still alive.
Yeah.
So, it's how you look at it. It's your perspective, man.
On a waiting list to get a casket, though. how there are not, Dave.
Order early.
How he has not figured out a Trump casket. mail order business. I don't know. Let's talk about that for a second. If we didn't get a chance, it would have been a little inappropriate in our interview with the president. We were on our best behavior. We didn't want to say anything in light of the Leslie Stahl 60 Minutes.
No. I mean, he was nice enough to take the time.
Let's face it, we were rude. Beggars can't be choosers in this case.
We're journalists above all else.
That's right. And I thought, by the way, that we handled the First Lady's breasts with dignity, Dave.
Yes, and I enjoyed handling them, frankly.
And would again.
Absolutely.
What do you think Trump will do if he loses, Dave? Let's talk about that.
Are you talking seriously now?
I'm talking seriously, but if a joke occurs
to you. If he loses, will he vacate the office? Or if he loses, what will he do with the rest of his life?
I think we have time to talk about the both. Let's start with the imminent political. I think James Carville had shared with us that he does not think Trump will go easily.
I don't think so either, unless it's a landslide, which I think is unlikely.
Wait a minute, Dave. Carville said that he would be gone and be named the king of Uzbekistan.
That's right.
I think it's quite likely.
I think he'll claim that there was corruption and fraud in the election. And as you mentioned before, it's going to be up to Bill Barr. And will Bill Barr, just follow Trump's orders and investigate the election, or will Barr say, walk away, it's Chinatown, you're done? I don't know. I think he'll probably launch an investigation.
I like the Chinatown reference, Dave. Chinatown, of course, the great Jack Nicholson movie, and that's. I say this, Dave, because of our so many younger listeners, I don't want to sound like Trump in the debate, with the cryptic Joe Biden crime family, Where's the laptop?
I think everybody's familiar with The Shining and probably A Few Good Men and anything where he had a quotable line out of even younger people are going to know that.
I love the reference. It's a hilarious reference, Dave, but I didn't want people to actually think we were talking about A Chinatown and you were referencing the movie. And I think it's good to point that stuff out. Like I said, who knew what Trump was talking about with the laptop and Big Daddy?
Right, yeah, that was
Big
pretty
Daddy?
Confusing.
Big Man.
Yeah.
The Big Man. Yeah. Who's the Big Man, Joe? Reminded me, of course, of Mr. Big.
I don't want to review the whole debate, but of course, Kristen Welker did just a bang-up job.
Wow.
There,
yeah.
And I also think that Biden did a good job of not biting on any of that. He listened to Trump go on and on about this insane conspiracy theory, and then he just said, "I've never taken any money from any foreign government ever done," and that was just the way to handle it, rather than to getting into that didn't happen, and I did this, and this has got because it's like you can't get into the mud because you'll.
That was ex- extremely good strategy. And I want to join you in congratulating Kristen Welker. What she did, many things, but one thing she did that I thought was a brilliant stroke was, and of course she had a little bit of a advantage, I think, you know.
That she had seen.
We were a little critical, I think, of Susan Page's job yeah. the last time. She had a little bit of a tougher job in that there was no mute on the microphone for those 2 minutes. I think that did help also. Mm-hmm. But what Welker did that I found so fascinating and so intelligent was when there was the tendency, and there's always the tendency, of the candidate to say, I have to respond to that because he talked about my immigration policy. She would very, very slyly smile yeah. and say, well, that's great, because the next question is on immigration.
yeah,
that was just,
yeah.
I wanted to pat her on the back, you know.
Yeah.
Well done.
So well done. We're going to get we're going to get to that. We'll get to that.
So that's it. Yeah. That was the last debate.
Yep.
We've got just, like we say, a handful of days. I don't actually anticipate that there will be any opposition by Trump. I think it's going to be a landslide. I think I said that last time. I think it will be.
I turn on MSNBC and CNN and I hear them talking about the landslide, and I just think, you guys, you don't talk about a no-hitter when it's going on. This, you did this 4 years ago. 4 years ago, you were ready, and you can't do that. And I remember about 15 years ago, the Mets, my team, you know, were leading late in the season, and they had clinched it. It was, you know, middle of August, and they start going like, remember Jose Reyes, the shortstop, Jose Reyes. And they were saying, Jose Reyes, you know, it's so great. The postseason is going to be his national stage to shine. It's really going to be great. People are going to, of course, the Mets blew it the rest of the way, and they never made it. And I was screaming at the TV, don't say they're going to be in the, until you know, and it's the same thing here.
Well,
I don't know.
That's the theory.
Polls are tightening up now, and it just like last time, it's the Electoral College that matters. And if Biden can't take something like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Florida, we're right back where we are. And I'm assuming Trump will win. I don't want to get my hopes crushed.
I get my hopes up. I'm saying you're taking a good stance for survival, Dave. I will take the. There are those, Dave, that don't get on a roller coaster and watch the roller coaster. I'm going to get on a roller coaster on this one.
I'm going to be sitting on a bench, eating a churro, and
it may be a lot like that acid trip back in 1975, but I made it through that. I made it through the last 4 years.
Were you with me then? Some night.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, Phil, my feeling is like I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, middle America. You know, you grew up in Chicago.
Chicago area.
Middle
yes.
America, blue collar. I lived in Bakersfield, California, very blue collar. We live in Tucson. It's very much a working class kind of blue collar town, you know. And I've always had such faith and belief in what, you know, middle America, how they, you know, the common folk, the salt of the earth. I mean, we have a great tradition in America of the common townspeople seeing through the city slicker from the outside who promises them all kinds of things, right? You know, I mean, every movie about a rainmaker, the Music Man was about that.
Film.
Every Andy Griffith episode was about the common, and they didn't do that. They did not see through him. They bought into him.
Nor did we learn from Andy Griffith, Dave, effective policing strategies.
You don't want
no gun, not even a gun.
You don't have to defund the Mayberry Police. Yeah. They've got it made. You know,
that would mean losing Barney.
Which you know, yeah,
we can't yeah. Although they did eventually lose Barney.
They did. That was yeah.
With replaced by Ken Berry.
Couldn't really
the
watch it after that. don't start me on Ken Berry. Don't start me on Ken Berry.
The former great White Sox.
The White Sox outfielder, though. But, yeah, well, actually,
well,
when Barney left, you know, the new deputy was Jack Burns of Burns and Schreiber. Remember Burns and Schreiber, the comedy
sure.
team?
Yeah, of course.
Jack Burns, that didn't work, though. But, who can follow Barney? You know, impossible.
Tough role to follow. Well, Dave, fascinating to hear your thoughts. I think they're reasonable thoughts.
Well, I have one more.
Go ahead.
I mean, when you talk about like regular folks, it's like, I just look at it this way. They elected Trump to be the president of the country. But like, they wouldn't accept him like in their regular life. You know, he would like they often say, like, you know, oftentimes the president is, you vote for the guy who you'd rather have a beer with. You know, like George W. Bush was a classic example. Yeah, I like to have a beer with that guy. But Trump is a guy, it's like, he's not a guy you'd want to hang out with, you know. He's not a guy you'd want to be sitting in the row in front of in at a sports event, you know, boasting and loud and spouting off stats that aren't...
Would also be difficult to see the sporting event.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was sitting behind you, yeah.
With that fat behind.
But don't
you hate it when a fat guy's in front of you at the ball game?
It bothers me when he's next to me because I can't, like, stretch out. But you know, I mean, if Trump was like, you know, if he worked for your company, he's like, not the guy you want to hang out with at the Christmas party. He's like, he's annoying. He's not a pleasant guy to be around.
Yeah. And the guy you're hoping is they're going to have a dunk tank for at the picnic.
Yeah, it's like if you're at a funeral and you see he's one of the eulogists, it's like, oh, what is he going to say? It's going to be horrible.
He's basically, Dave, the character in Caddyshack. You know, that was played by the newsman, you know, from Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, it's Ted Knight, yes. Yeah.
You know, he's that
A blowhard.
Yeah.
And who wants to hang out with somebody like that? I mean, we all know people like that.
And if he wasn't Trump, I would say he's Mike Pence, but not loud as loud.
So, but I mean, like, say, you know, if you were going to school, your kid was starting school, and you're going to go meet the teacher, it's Meet the Teacher Day. Mm-hmm. And you go into the classroom, and the guy behind the desk, his tie goes down to the floor. He painted his face orange. His hair is some kind of tornado comb over. He doesn't speak well. Based on what he's written on the chalkboard, he doesn't write well. And he tells you your daughter's going to do fine in his class because he's seen her and she's not his type. You would at least storm out, if not slug him, if not shoot him. Mm-hmm. You would never want this guy to be teaching your kids.
No.
So why are they? It's okay if he has a nuclear button, though. It's okay if he can, you know, rule the economy.
Well, Dave, I want to share my thoughts as well.
Please, I've been going on here too long.
No, I respect your thoughts. It's good to hear them. I think they... are representative of many, many out there. But you said something, and this is a comedy show. So I can't let it go by. When you were talking about the fake suntan, I happened to listen to Bill Maher the other night on Real Time, and he said that during the debates, Trump's skin was the consistency of medium well roast beef. Which, was he incredibly tan even for Trump?
Yeah.
No, it had to be because of the covering the COVID paleness. Maybe.
I think that had something because when he came out of the hospital, he looked like Redwood. You know, he was really...
He's breathing a little.
One of our fans is over here, Phil. He's really enjoying the show.
We are very popular, Dave, in the canine community. Many ITO listeners. My own... as you recall, back in the winter, we often did the shows on the telephone. And both my dogs, regular listeners to ITO. subscribers.
Well, you know, President Trump is the only president not to own a dog for like 100 years or maybe ever.
I'll segue from that, Dave, by saying just another reason that we should get him out of the White House. I will say I agree with almost everything you are saying in your observations.
I feel a butt coming on.
Yes. But not really a but an and. I think that was true, certainly in 2016. I think the bit of the perfect storm was that Hillary Clinton was so disliked and distrusted. And therefore, those in the middle, I think Hillary Clinton had the support of Democrats, as you'd expect, and Trump had the support of most Republicans, as you'd expect, and really a tremendous saturation of Republicans.
Yeah.
That I think did articulate the general sort of malaise that you were saying and distrust towards politicians. And I think there'd always been this flirtation in America, Dave. And it goes back to other candidates that have emerged as third-party candidates. That Ross Perot, for example, was maybe the first time in our lifetimes that we heard that argument. You know, America needs a businessman. We need somebody that knows to go in there and run it like a business. You know, and maybe we do. But after 4 years of Trump, we still don't know. Because he ran it like a maniac, not like a
businessman. Well, he ran it like his businesses, which he, it turns out, did not run well.
Suppose you could could say that, right? He ran it not well like he ran his businesses not well. But he certainly didn't run it like a business. It was, it's been just a corruption machine, dangerous
He ran
in
it
so
like a business.
Ways.
Unfortunately, the business was a Craycroft swap meet. Everything can go. Everything's for sale.
Always a shout out, Dave, to our fine sponsors.
Oh, we have so many
Craycroft
of
Industries. I got a lot of positive feedback on the almost condolence cards.
Oh, we did. Yes. Yeah.
I got one in the mail, so time to for a checkup, I guess I would say. But I will also say, Dave, that I think America was a little bit drunk in 2016, almost drunk on hatred.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And not feeling confident in what was their choice in either Clinton or Trump, mm-hmm. or those that somehow saw their choice in Clinton or Trump. I don't mean to say that Hillary Clinton didn't have many devoted supporters. She did and still does. Mm-hmm. But she was certainly not the choice of the multitude. Mm-hmm. Or at least in electoral states, as you point out. But I think that, government could be run by business because these politicians have failed us. Almost the sort of argument, one of the more cogent arguments Trump tried to make the other night in the final debate, that you've been in office for 47 years, Joe, why couldn't you get this done? You were in the last 8 years, or previous mm-hmm. 8 years. Why couldn't you get it done? Which was very much the argument in 2016 as well. Uh-huh. And it's a straw man, of course. Things are done incrementally. You could say the same thing, then why didn't you get it done in 3.5 years? Why does it still need to be done? It's always
Where's the health plan?
It's always an argument.
Right.
But in some ways a good argument, and in some ways an accurate argument, things that haven't gotten done. The whole bigger picture arguments like institutional racism and that is not something that's going to get done even in 47 years, Dave. Mm-hmm. But you want to be moving incrementally. You want to be moving in the right direction. And I think America was at that point. There was enough of a third-party tease in the Green Party last time, if you recall. And they siphoned off just a small
just
percentage,
enough, yeah.
But we know how the results turned
Same
out.
Same thing with Nader a few years ago, just siphoned off.
Nader,
enough,
similarly, you're absolutely right. So when we are vulnerable in that way, and then interestingly enough, and I don't mean to make this a political science lesson, but I remember Jimmy Carter saying years ago, Carter, of course, with the Carter Center, does so much work with free and fair elections around the globe. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing an interview with him, or maybe it was in one of his books, where he talked about the fact that the U.S. political system is not that good at running free and fair elections. They're just never close. And that's why it hasn't been exposed. This was 30 years ago. And then, of course, we learned in 2000, when it gets close, the U.S. election system is not that good.
Kind of falls apart, yeah.
And state by state, it's very different. Mm-hmm. So there were vulnerabilities, there's still vulnerabilities. And then you could say to Jimmy Carter and other politicians, so then why didn't you get it done? Why didn't we work to fix this better? It's a part of our political system, Dave, that keeps things sort of at a status quo.
Yeah.
And there are sort of platonic structural shifts, and I think we reached one in 2016. But I think the facade got pulled away from that. It's like, it reminds me, Dave, if you remember the great Batman series, I believe.
Of course.
I believe the Penguin was elected mayor of New York. And it reminds me, Danny DeVito, I believe, portraying the Penguin.
Well, I'm thinking of Burgess Meredith back then in the day.
But I don't think that was part of the plot of the TV show. But in the movie, I think Trump is, if I had to select a political figure, fact or fiction, closest to the Penguin. In Batman. And I think America has realized that.
Well, he's got a similar
that's why
got a similar walk, yeah.
I think right now, Dave, it's like in the midst of the COVID crisis, I just think you'd have to shake somebody senseless to say, do you want to continue this one?
Yeah.
And I think that's what has come to fore. I think the rush to early voting tells me that there's that movement to say no more. That, you know, I was drunk. I said this. I don't know why I said this, but no, it's, you know, girls, ladies, you've all woken up.
I see the mistake I made, and it's not going to happen again.
So that's the way I see it, Dave. It's that catastrophic of a choice.
One thing I wanted to add, we've got a top 10 list here we've got to get to we won't be able to do. We've got about, 10 minutes left? 8 minutes?
No, about 6.
Okay. The one thing I want to say is when they were going back and forth during the debate and about race, and Trump was saying, like, you know, you were in there eight years, you didn't get it done.
Yeah.
My thought was, the response to that was, yeah, I was in there 8 years as vice president to the first black president this country's ever had, which brought a lot of hope and a lot of excitement and a feeling to a part of our society who felt that would never happen. And what you did was you said he wasn't an American, he was a terrorist from another country. That's the difference between us on race, and that would have been the answer as far as I'm concerned.
It would have been it's a brilliant answer now, by the way, Dave.
Well, thank you.
It would have been cogent, but...
I'll run next time around.
You know, things are done in different ways, and you have to say, what an energetic and compassionate voice Barack Obama has been in this campaign and in these closing days.
Yeah.
I saw him speak in Philadelphia, and that was, via television. That was a wonderful speech. By the way, that was done as a drive-in, by the way, Dave.
Right.
I
saw it. Yeah.
Like some of the comedy we've been talking about. Yep. I think Obama's got a future in stand-up comedy.
He's got great delivery. Great delivery. Yeah, he really does. Yeah, yeah.
He holds the mic well.
I saw him on Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. He was very funny. He was funny when he showed up on SNL. And, of course, unfortunately, his skewering of Trump a few years ago is the reason Trump ran for president, because he was so ridiculed.
So many, right?
Yep. Anyway, I want to get to this because if we don't do it today, it won't be any good anymore.
Let's do it. And
it's timely.
Yeah, the next time we do it, Dave, I think we'll be in the Biden administration. Well,
stop jinxing it. So, Phil, the point of this is that you know, during the debate and other times, President Trump has compared himself to Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
He does it all the time, you know.
What are some of those comparisons?
Well, I'm going to get, you know, we had our crack ITO crew develop a top 10 list.
Nobody better.
Of the top 10 comparisons of Trump and Lincoln. Is that a four?
That's a four.
Okay. All right.
Also arthritis.
Top 10. Here's number 10. Lincoln said, everything I want to know is in a book.
Oh.
While Trump said, everything I want to know is on Fox and Friends. Number 9. While working as a store clerk, Lincoln once walked 20 miles to square things with a customer he'd overcharged. You remember that story?
Sure.
Trump once walked 15 yards to kick his golf ball onto the fairway.
Regularly.
Number 8, a young girl told Lincoln he'd be more likely to be elected if he grew a beard. Trump once told Lindsey Graham he'd be more likely to be elected if he hired a beard. Number 7, Lincoln sent handwritten notes to every mother of soldiers killed in the Civil War.
Wow.
Lincoln did that. Trump sends a form letter to Gold Star mothers that reads, so you raised a sucker. A little darker there.
Yeah.
Number 6, Lincoln's right-hand man.
I came up in our interview with the president.
That's right. Lincoln's right-hand man, General Grant, a known alcoholic, outsmarted Robert E. Lee. Trump's right-hand man, Rudy Giuliani, a known alcoholic, was outsmarted by Borat. Number 5, Lincoln's face is on the $5 bill. Coincidentally, that's Trump's average tax bill. Number 4, Lincoln's son was named Thomas, but the president referred to him as Tad. Trump's son is named Barron, but he refers to him as Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. In the Lincoln-Douglas debates, this is number 3, by the way, and you're keeping track here. The Lincoln-Douglas debates, Lincoln proved the need for a strong leader. Mm-hmm. In the Trump-Biden debates, Trump proved the need for a mute button. Number 2, Lincoln's wife Mary often advised him on the Civil War. Trump's wife Melania often advises him that the check is late. And number 1 reason, comparison between Trump and Lincoln, Lincoln freed the slaves. Trump freed Roger Stone. There we go. It's just squeezed
it
in.
He's been quiet during the campaign that we might see Roger Stone.
Yeah, we are just about out of time.
Yeah, we are.
Wow, this
just about. It's been a pleasure.
Our last pre-election show, Phil.
Wow, our thanks and all of that. James Carville, who helped us along the way, it was insightful.
Senator Sanders was here early on.
Sanders was here so many times. It was great. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to some of these folks after the
election. I am looking forward to our first post-election.
I wonder if there'll be a spot in the administration somewhere for Bernie Sanders.
That'd be interesting.
Potential next year. Probably not a Trump
I read that if Trump wins again, Rudy Giuliani is going to be attorney general. That's so that'll be
very good. Well, he's halfway there. Dave's pants are already down. Let's leave it
on that note.
Hey-o.
All right.
You've been tuned to KMKR 99.9 FM, Tucson, Arizona. Thank you and good night.
Love it. Boy, that flew by.
Well, it was only 45, of course.
Oh, that's true.